All right.
Genesis chapter 41, I want to preach to you tonight about God works on both ends. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but you'll understand it by the time I get through. And I have preached this message, I don't know, in a lot of places. To show you how old this message is, I typed that on my electric typewriter in 1980-something. Can you tell it was done on an electric typewriter, not a computer? Yeah. And I didn't even know how to type. I sat there and I was going. And it took me 3 days to type it and 30 minutes to preach it. Genesis 41, if you will. And we'll start with verse 1. We're going to read a lot of scripture, okay? Verse 1, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine. That's a cow. And flat flesh. That means they had flesh on them. And they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kind came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kind upon the brink of the water. And the ill-favored and the lean-fleshed kind did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the second time. Behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Now if you will, skip down to verse 16, just for sake of time, you know the story. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "If it is not in me." Now he said, Pharaoh's age, fine, he's done wore out all these soothsayers and everything. And somebody tells him about Joseph. And Joseph said in verse 16, he answered Pharaoh, saying, "It's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Amen. Well, that's a good testimony, isn't it? Now skip down to verse 25, if you will. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, "The dream of Pharaoh is one. God had showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. The 7 good kind are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The 7 thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh." Man, that gives me chill bumps. "Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall rise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the 5th part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. Let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And the food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Boy, what a testimony. Wow. That's a heathen king saying that. I told you this morning, they know. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And boy, I like this. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee. That's what they cried before Joseph, like he's a king, see. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Wow. Wow. What? Unbelievable. The authority and the power that that man thought he gave Joseph, but God gave it to him. Amen. Now you know the story. Joseph woke up one day when he was a little boy, he'd had a dream. And in that dream, his brothers and even his parents bowed to him. And it was a similar dream to what Pharaoh had. And they got mad at him. And his brothers were jealous of him. And of course, you know the story from there. They sold him off into slavery. They would have killed him, but one talked him out of it. But they made their daddy think he was dead, which was just about as cruel as killing him. And so they sold him into slavery. And he ended up in a sort of a general's house called Potiphar. And he ended up in charge there. Everywhere he went, God blessed him. And he ended up running the house. But Potiphar's wife was one of those old wicked women. And she wanted him and he wouldn't have it. So she lied on him. And he ended up getting put in jail because of that. Not just jail, a dungeon. And while he was in there, he did right. He kept doing right. Didn't have a pity party. Amen? Amen. And he did right, even in jail. And even in jail, he was respected. And so there were other men that came in there. Later on, if you read it, you'll read about the baker and the butler, how they had come to jail because of some things they had done. And he befriended them. And listen, he told them some things, and they were astounded. And he said, this is all I want you to do. When you get out of here, you tell the king about me. You tell him about me up there, okay? You tell him I'm down here. And so, of course, we know the story. It went on. They didn't do like they were supposed to do. They didn't tell him. And then finally, he has a dream. And when he has a dream, then finally, I can't remember right now, my cold medicine's kicking in real good. But the baker, was it the baker that told one of them told him, said, look, there's a man down in jail. He can interpret dreams. He can tell you about this dream you just had. And so they let him out, you know. They done talked to the soothsayers and the magicians and the false prophets and all those. Nobody could answer the dream. And Joseph told him, said, this is not of me. I can't do this, but God can. God can do it. So he interpreted the dream, and it all came to pass. And he ended up being in second command of Pharaoh's house, the most powerful at that time, the most powerful country on planet Earth, and the richest. And everybody recognized him just the same as the Pharaoh. And the only person that had more authority than he did was the Pharaoh. Now I want to tell you a little bit about that and what happened. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, the Bible says, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Joseph honored God. Amen. He honored God in good times and bad times. He didn't take it lightly. Somebody said, the man who humbly bows before God is sure to walk upright. In other words, God will take care of him. If you humble yourself before God, God will lift you up. God will lift you up. And so all this time, Joseph is in jail. Well, before that, He was going through all those things, and he kept doing right, and he didn't get mad, and he didn't try to get even, and he had no grudges. He stayed humble, and he stayed in touch with God, and then finally he ended up in jail, and we're reading this story, and we're saying, man, how could this guy keep on going? I thought God was going to bless him. And all those troubles, one trouble after another, one lie, one thing after another, finally ends up down in their dungeon. And some guys tell him they're going to remind the Pharaoh he's there to have mercy on him, whatever. And they don't even do that. So I got thinking. Did you know that God sees and cares for those who honor him, and they never go unnoticed? Now, in our little limited time, our little limited ability to understand spiritual things, we look at some people sometimes and think, it looks like God's forgotten them. Come on. I mean, they don't have a nice house. They don't have nice clothes. They don't have a good job. And they go through one tribulation after another. And I could name you people. They go through one trial after another. And we think, well, why is God not taking care of that? Are they not saved? But you know what? As long as they're humble, they honor God, they keep doing right. And look, one day, and I don't mean after they die either. One day God's going to honor them. And that's what happened to Joseph. While he was in jail, he was praying. And God was on the other end working to get him out. Thank you, Lord. Pharaoh didn't know God was doing that. Pharaoh's court didn't know God was doing that. The baker didn't know God was doing that. The butcher, everybody in that jail, nobody knew that God was working while Joseph was praying. You still with me?
Yes.
And we look at people, we look at their situations, we're praying, we think God ain't never going to change that. Ain't nothing ever going to happen. And while we're praying, God's working on the other end.
Amen.
When my daughter took my grandchildren out here, it devastated me. It wasn't her fault, by the way. And I come here one day and I got down this altar and I was crying. I felt like my grandchildren had died. Tampa, Florida, Fort Lauderdale, that's another world, man. And I lay down and I sent my preachers text, you know, pray for me. They've done this, they've done that. And I was mad. I was in the flesh. I really got in the flesh a lot. I did. And I was praying some things I probably shouldn't even been praying. But hey, listen, I kept on going. I kept on trusting. And then God moved into another place. It was even farther away. And I thought, God, you're going the wrong direction here. But I kept being a good Christian. I kept being nice to my son-in-law. I kept being nice to my daughter. And I kept praying, God, I need my grandchildren because they need me. And boy, I just cry. I'd come there and I'd cry and I'd cry. And then after a couple of years, they moved to Asheville. I said, glory to God. Asheville, two hours and a half away. That beats the heck out of 10.5 hours away. I remember one night me and my wife was coming back from Florida. It was during spring break. And we usually stop up there at the Georgia line and get a motel at night and then come on in the next day. And everywhere we stopped, everything was full. We ended up sleeping in the car in a parking lot of a gas station. And I said, God, what are you doing here? What is going on? And so then he moves to Nashville. They ended up there a year, and now here they are back.
Praise you, Lord.
Now, see, I didn't do that. They didn't even do that. God did that. God did that. Amen?
Amen.
And I go to the hospital. Every other day I was getting a call from Mama's house saying Mama's in the emergency room. Mama's in the hospital. Mama's having a heart attack. Mama's about to have a stroke and all this stuff. And I'd go down there. It seemed like it got to every other day. And I was saying, God, I don't know what's going on here. I'm not ready for my mama to die. And she'd be back in the hospital the next day and back in the hospital 2 days later. And back. Turned out, after months of that, Suzanne sits down with the medication list and talks to my nephew who was here today. And he was giving her medication wrong. Almost killed her. Three doctors told me, said her heart ain't no good, and we just need to let her die. She's old,
old people get where they won't eat. She won't eat no more. I said she won't eat because she can't swallow. And just one thing after another, one thing after another. And then finally that last Pakistani or Indian or whatever she was, because up there they let them die, you know, they just let them die. And she told me that. I said, I'm not going to do that. I'll figure out something else. And the Lord sent this. There's a counselor on that floor at the end of the hall. They got a little office about the size of my closet. And that lady come out there. She heard it. She come out there. She said, don't you let your mama die. Let me get her in rehab over at White Oak Manor. And they'll get her back on her feet. She had bed sores that big around her back where she'd been laying on her back. She was out of her mind. Couldn't even see. Because when old people get sick, that dementia just jacks up, you know. And she was out of her mind. And I said, I'll do anything. If you can get her in there. And she said, besides that, even if she does, she can't recover, she'll be in the best nursing home in town. And she was. And I was scared to death. My sister Judy went to the county poorhouse before she died. Broke my heart. And listen, what no trouble. I went in there and they signed my mama right up and they got her in there. And now she's on the healthiest hall of all of them. She's on the hall where they still get out and go and talk and laugh and joke and go on. But I was praying and begging and pleading. And the whole time those doctors were saying, let her die, let her die, let her die. God was saying, no, I'm going to let her live, let her live, let her. I'm going to reserve her a place up here. And the same thing happens in your life. Think about it. A lot of things. Y'all could stand up here tonight and start telling story after story that while you was praying and doubting and pleading and crying, laid on down the road, you got down the road and found out God had something waiting on you way down the road there. Amen? And while we're over here praying and pleading and crying and talking to people and trying to work things out, God's already got something down the road down here. And when we get there, I'll give you a good for instance, I can't talk plain tonight. A good example, for instance, this is my throat. I spent all day, just about all day every day last week looking for a place charity to live in this town. I couldn't find nothing fit for the little bit of money that he has coming in. And I looked and I looked and there's some places I wouldn't have let my dog live, you know, if they ran out. And I found a couple of places. But then Wanda, who sits right back there. Is Wanda here tonight? Wanda ain't here tonight. But Wanda, I call her the dog whisperer. She rescues dogs and stuff. And Wanda sent me a message. She said, I got a friend who's got a nice house for rent. Let me contact him. And she contacted that lady, and that lady's husband is a rich lawyer. And she said, yeah, I got a tenant moving out next week.
Praise you, Lord.
And it was the cheapest rent we had had, a lot cheaper than any I had looked at. 4 bedrooms, 2.5 baths, big yards, brick house, nice neighborhood. One mile from the Mount Gallant Elementary School and that new middle school out there. Not Riverwalk. Dutchman Creek. Good schools. And I said, wow, somebody's misunderstood. They want more money. Yeah. So I called the woman up. I said, I want to talk to you about the house. And told her who I was, you know. And I said, after she got through talking, and I'd seen the pictures on the internet and couldn't believe it, and I said, is this rent right? She said, what does it say? I said, $1,050 a month. She said, yeah. I said, 4 bedrooms? Yeah. I said, 2.5 baths? Yeah. I said, brick house? She said, yeah. I said, good neighborhood? Yeah. I didn't ask no more questions after that. And she talked for a while. I said, I got one thing that I'm going to have to tell you. I don't know if they told you or not. And it's canceled out some good houses. I said, they have a dog and a cat. It's a yard dog, a big old dog. And she started laughing. She said, Wanda didn't tell you about me, did she? I said, no. She said, I give a lot of money to animal rescues. She donates a bunch of money to these animal rescue dog whisperers, you know. And she said, I love dogs. She said, I love cats. And I kind of had to bite my lip because I just told her. I've been telling them to get rid of that stinking cat for a long time. I was smooth right over that.
But see, here for 2 years, I've been down here praying and begging and pleading and being mad and being upset and being hurt and everything else. And then way down here, God had it all under control. And tomorrow she enrolls them in school. I don't know if Joseph ever felt like that. It doesn't say it, does it? I don't know. But he kept faith. And he kept going. And he kept doing right. I hear Christians sometimes, they'll say, well, I used to go to church, but I got my feelings hurt. Something wrong with that. Well, I used to go to church. I used to read the Bible, but I just quit believing all that stuff. God didn't answer my prayers. And I think, you don't believe like we do. There's something wrong with that. If this man could spend all those years lied on, was sold by his own brothers, accused of trying to rape a woman. By the way, ain't that this society, amen? By the way, I just tell most of those women, put some clothes on. Amen. A man's made, a man goes by what he sees, and if you look like you're for sale, he just assumes you are. I better go on now. But, and I know it still ain't right, but, you know, take the sign down, okay? If you don't want to rent the house, take the sign down. Thank you, Danny. I'm going to say it again. If you don't want to rent the house, take the sign down. But he was accused of rape, trying to rape. And it wasn't, it was the other way around. And then he was put in jail. Yep. You think he was in the All Day Inn? Those jails didn't have circuit television. They didn't have cable vision. They didn't have Monday night football. Look, they didn't have a weight room. They didn't have a chapel. They didn't have a cafeteria. You had a muddy little cell down in the bottom of something. Amen? Amen. Yep. And he kept on. And he kept on. And he kept doing what he was supposed to do. And he stayed humble. And he trusted God. And then he befriended some guys that he thought maybe they're going to get out here before I do. And they can remind the Pharaoh that I'm down here. And guess what? They let him down. Well, preacher, I will go to church, but Christians have let me down. Oh, shut up. You don't know anything about being a Christian. Amen? We've all been let down. Amen.
Amen.
And by the way, you've let a few down yourself. If you ever want to be let down, look to people. You'll be let down.
Amen.
If they ever want to be let down, they can look to you. Because you'll let them down too. Amen. He kept going. He kept praying. Well, while he was doing that, guess what? The big man was dreaming. Here comes a skinny cow. No, fat cow. He saw the fat cow first. And then all of a sudden, here comes this skinny cow. And the skinny cow eats the fat cow, and he don't get no fatter when he eats it. And then he keeps on dreaming. Now he's got a dream about some corn growing. And it's the fat corn. You know, sweet corn. That's what we call it, sweet corn. If you ever go to Iowa, you won't see no sweet corn. They grow all that corn to make liquor and gasoline out of. And but we grow them big old kernels of sweet corn. I love it, man. You don't even have to cook it. You can just be out there and just shuck it right there in the garden and eat it. Amen? You can do the same thing with okra. How many of y'all have done that to okra? How many of y'all never ate okra? If you get hungry enough, you'll eat it. Amen? Jim. And turnip greens, collard greens. I've been out in the garden just picking, eating, picking, eating. Y'all ain't never done that. You ain't never been poor if you have that, brother. And so he has another dream, a skinny corn Easter fat corn. And he goes out there to all his hirelings. You know what a hireling is? You pay them to tell you what you want to hear. And he goes out there, and they can't figure it out. And they're scared to lie to him because they're afraid something's going to happen that they didn't say was going to happen. And he killed him. So it's one of the baker. Anyway, he said, wait a minute, I remember something. I told this fellow down there in the dungeon that I would tell you about him.
And this sure be a good time to tell you, I forgot. So he brings him up there, and he says, I heard you can interpret dreams. He said, not me, God can.
Amen.
And he interprets the dream. He says, you're going to have 7 fat years, and you're going to have 7 lean years, and you better start saving up some food.
Amen.
Now, then he looks at them and said, well, where are we going to find a wise man like this? And he appoints him. Now, he's gone from the hole in the ground to the jail, and from the jail to riding the prettiest chariot with the prettiest horses right behind the leader of the greatest world, the greatest nation in the world. You know why? Because when he was down there suffering, God was working. While Joseph was in jail doing that without, God was on the other end planning and making him to be in charge of everything. Now, we'll be reminded all the time. While we're over here and we're being submissive and we're going through trial and tribulation, God is down the road way ahead of you. And when you get there, it'll be waiting on you.
Amen. Yeah.
That's happened to me so many times, I can't tell you. I get there and I say, man, this is what I've been praying about. Or I'll say, this is what I thought I'd never have. Or I didn't think it would ever turn out this way. Because while I was over here, I didn't give up. I was like Joseph. I kept praying. I kept doing right. I tried to be humble. I tried not to hate people. I tried to do the good things, even when they hurt me, let me down. And then I got way down the road somewhere, and there's a big old blessing, and God had it sitting there waiting on me.
Thank you.
Because while I was working, praying, and trying to do right, he was working, setting it up, both ends. You see that? Now, turn to Hebrews chapter 1. My time's already up. Did y'all turn the heat off today? Is anybody cold? Belinda's sick. She's got on her Chester jail blanket. Hebrews chapter 1. I might not better say too much about that. She might have been there. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Did you know that God speaks to men? God speaks to men. We've got a real God that speaks to people. We don't have some old dumb idol. Amen?
Amen.
I'd hate to be a Catholic. If you've never been in a Catholic church, you need to go in one of those big ones. And go in there and look at all those stinking idols they got up. I mean, they're everywhere. And we're talking life size. That one down in Charleston, which I think was the first Catholic church in South Carolina, maybe America. The one down, big, gigantic. You walk in there, and they've got statues all up around through there, life size. And my wife has a phobia about statues. She was scared to death. And they're everywhere. And those people bow down, and they worship things. And when you go in the door, you can buy a candle. Catholic church ain't got nothing free. You buy a candle, and you go in there, and you light that candle, and you put it in a little holder, and then you bow down, and you worship that statue of Jesus still hanging on the cross, or Mary holding him in her arms. Never get an answer. You'll never get an answer.
That's right.
And they pray, and they try to live right, and they try to be humble, and they get down the road, and ain't nothing for them. Because, see, God ain't working on both ends of that. They're the only ones involved in it. Because they're worshiping dumb idols. That's what the Bible calls them. I'd hate to think that God only speaks to me, by the way. I'd hate to think that I was the only one that God spoke to. And that's what he basically said. He said, ain't me, it's God that speaks. And I'd hate to think that God only works in me. But while I'm in prayer, God's working on somebody else. And God's speaking through somebody else. And God's using somebody else. You see, sometimes you're the Pharaoh and somebody else is the Joseph. And sometimes it's the other way around. God might lead you to somebody to get the help you need because you've been praying and they've been looking to serve God and please God. And by pleasing you and helping you, they're pleasing God. Come on, help me. Listen, I'm glad that while God's working on me in prayer, He's working on somebody else on the other end.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
I told you that story. I've got all kinds of stories, but many times I've been in bad, low times and go somewhere and God would have somebody there waiting on me to pray for me. Right then. Out loud. By the way, you want to impress a lost and dying world when you're out at the mall or the Redneck Mall, Walmart. When you're out at the mall and somebody and you run into somebody, they say, pray for me. Say, let's pray right now. See, Christians are lazy. They'll say, I'll put you on my prayer list. No, you won't. You're lying. You know you're lying. Or I'll remember to pray for you later. You won't remember. The devil will steal that from you. I know he does for me all the time. So what you have to do, you say, all right, right now, let's pray. Just start praying. And I'm telling you that while God was working on that person, and they were praying, they were trying to be what they were supposed to be, and they were trying to do right, God was supposed to be preparing you to be there for that person when they got to where you are.
Amen. Yeah.
Some of you have lost loved ones, and you know what I'm talking about. Devastated. It felt like somebody took your heart out and threw it on the floor and stomped on it. Sure. And then months, maybe years, you run into somebody and they've got a word for you. They've got some encouragement for you and they'll pray for you and it's just like that fixed. Amen? Now you listen to me. I believe that while God's working on you, He's working on somebody else. You say, preacher, I sinned, I fail, and I'm trying to recover. Well, you go ahead, you stay right there and you pray and you seek God. And while you're doing that, God's going to give somebody else something that's going to help you do that.
Amen.
He's working on both ends. He's not just working on you. Do y'all understand that?
Absolutely.
Boy, so many times, so many people didn't even know it. They didn't even know it. God speaks through His Spirit. God speaks through other Christians. God speaks through circumstances. And something happened in Pharaoh's life. He had a dream. And God had a believer there to interpret that dream. And if we'd be where we ought to be, when we ought to be, in the will of God, God could use us more to help people get right with God and stay right with God. We live in such a selfish, self-centered generation. Nobody wants their favorite TV program interrupted. There'll be people, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I started waiting till next week. The day we call off or postpone a service for a stinking football game, it'll be a cold day in hell. I'll just go ahead and tell you that right now. Somebody might need you at night while the football game's going on.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Okay. Amen. I said today, Jason Coley would turn over in his grave. He didn't even like sports to start with. He preached against sports. But let me tell you something. God's working on me and you right now. Now, He may be working on you as a Joseph. Or He may be working on you as a Pharaoh. But He's working on you for somebody else, and He's working on somebody else for you. Does that make any sense? Repeat that to me. What if the butler had gone out and got Joseph out as soon as it happened? That's right. What if the baker had gotten out, and as soon as he had gotten out, he'd done what Joseph wanted him to do? Just think the mess we would be in if we always got what we wanted instead of waiting on what God wanted.
Amen. Yeah.
What if that person that we talked to and we want something gave us what we wanted immediately? A lot of times the next week, the next year, we'd find out we were out of the time of God. Joseph was exactly where he was supposed to be. He was in jail.
Yeah.
I didn't say he deserved it. I said, that's where he was supposed to be. And I get so tired of modern day Christians who think they're never supposed to have hard times and everything's supposed to be smooth and easy. And if it ain't, they must not be right with God. Well, I've got news for you. There's a lot of good things in suffering too. It helps you have compassion on others. It helps you learn how to minister to other people. I remember when I was a boy preacher, young boy preacher, I would preach funerals and I'd say this. Somebody's parent would die. I'd say, and I'm going to be honest with y'all, I love you and I'm here to help you, but I really don't know how you feel. I never knew my daddy, so I don't know if he's alive or dead. And my mom was living. So if I was preaching about somebody's mom, I'd say, I really don't know how you feel, but I know one that does.
Amen.
If I preached somebody had a tragedy, I'd tell them, I'd say, look, I really don't know how you feel. I've never had this happen to me, but I know one that can be touched by all the feelings of your infirmities. Amen. He's been there. He's been through it. Amen?
Amen.
And so what we have to do, we have to look and say, which end am I on today? Tomorrow you're going to go to work. Most of you. Some of you's too lazy to work. Not even
saying. I'm going anyway.
You could have waited until I swallowed before you said
that. Well, at least he's honest, amen.
But you're going to go to work tomorrow, and all you're going to center on is you. Some of you going to school, all you're going to think about is you. You'll look, guys, look around every once in a while and try to find the person that God's working on the other end.
Right.
There's some people out there that would be a blessing if you look at it the way God looks at it.
Right.
And there's some people out there that you could be a blessing too if you would look at it the way God looks at it.
Right.
But see, you want instant success.
Right.
Instant coffee. Instant coffee. Instant grits, instant tea, instant cable TV, instant websites and all this junk. We're ruined.
Right.
And you want instant satisfaction. And you want instant answers. And you want instant peace and instant joy. And all those things are foreign to the Word of God without God being involved in it. It had to be in the time for the prevention of the famine. If he'd gotten out years before, nobody would listen to him, or he'd have done and went back home. It had to be at the right time when the famine was about to fall. And God, listen to this, God kept one of the most godly men that ever lived. He is comparative, his life is comparative to the life of Christ. And God kept him in jail. A dirty, nasty, filthy jail. Wicked people in jail. And God kept him in jail until it was just right time.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I don't like to hurt. I don't like to be hurt. I hate it. I don't like confrontation. I know y'all think, well, preachers get up there and they scream and holler. They like to fuss with people. I hate confrontation. I'll avoid it. I'll avoid it with every bit of my strength. Now, my wife, she'll jump on you. She'll straighten you out in a minute. She's a second grade teacher. She knows how. But me, I hate it. And I'll avoid it. But there comes a time to where you got to do what God wants you to do at the time God wants you to do it, or it ain't never going to get done by anybody else.
Amen.
And God's put you here for just a time as this, he told somebody. That. Just a time as this. And that's what we're here for.
Amen.
I don't want to go to jail. I used to preach at the jail a lot. I started preaching there when I was 24. I had a jail ministry. A lot of guys, they'll come in there and they'll say, I have a jail ministry. I say, you do? He said, yeah, I'm in cell block number 12 and I'm teaching the Bible. I said, I get to go home. Amen. But
look, we need our faith renewed to believe that God's working on the other end, which we cannot see.
Now, I'm having to apologize to God for my grandchildren stuff. I hate I missed the time I did with them, but I tell you this, God was working the whole time I was doubting, and the whole time I was crying, and the whole time I was pleading. God was working on the other end. He was working things out. And a lot of times that person that you're afraid to confront, or you're afraid to have a relationship with or something, and you're afraid of them, if you'll just hang on, keep praying, keep being humble, when you get down the road, God will have that set up for you. But how many women's jumped into a marriage because they thought some guy was cute and funny? I'd rather you girls marry the ugliest man in town and have a good relationship with him than to marry some old pretty boy, amen? I mean, I'd rather not have a tooth in his head. See, CJ's looking for one just like that, if y'all can find him. Toothless. She wants a man who looks just like her daddy. Toothless and bald. But he loves the Lord.
Amen.
Wait on him. How many of y'all have been coon hunting? You been coon hunting? I know you have. Who else been coon hunting? Y'all need to get a group together, brother. You'll get out there in the middle of the night, that big old moon will be shining, you'll be sitting. Them guys, they really do it just to fellowship. Huh? Coon. Oh, raccoons will. Well, I'm sorry. Possum. I ain't never been either. I'm talking to guys that have. But you ever heard this? Wait for it. Because if some guys just go out and start shooting. I mean, they shoot each other. My brother got shot right there with a 30-30 one time deer hunting. Bullet went right through his shoulder right there and come out the other end. But them dogs get to barking. Now, I have run the dogs. I've just never hunted. And them boys would go, wait for it.
Yeah.
Why do they say that? Thank you for that very informative.
You're waiting for the bark to change because the dog will change his bark when he's on the tree.
He changes his bark. Now that's a real one, Matt. Y'all need to get together, okay? And I ain't going with neither one of you. But anyway, the point I was trying to make before the comedians got in on it. Funny how a man don't never talk and then he make fun of me when I make it. The point I was trying to make, can you hear me? We need to wait for it. We need to wait for it. You ever eat a possum? You didn't wait for it? If you wait for me to eat a possum, it'll be another cold day. But here's what's happening. A lot of jests, but here's what's happening. God right now is working on somebody drawing her to the Savior right now. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I believe in leading people to Christ, but they're not going to get saved until it's their time and His time. And now, you can talk them into saying a prayer, but they ain't not going to get saved just because they prayed. I've seen many of those. They're not saved. Our churches are full of those. Just because some song made them cry, you know. We got to wait till they're ready and God's been working on them. So we pray and we love them and we treat them right and we try to be faithful and we don't get mad at them. And look, sooner or later, way down the road somewhere, God's been working on them. Every time the preacher preached, he'd say, "That preacher's preaching to you." He'd say, "Listen, Sister Mary, he's talking to you. That preacher's preaching right at you." Brother walked out here the other week and said, "Preacher Ron, every sermon you preach about me." I said, "Well, the Lord must be talking to you." So I don't know nothing about you. But here I am. Here we are. We're suffering. We're hurting. We're praying. We're begging. We're pleading. We see no answer. We see no hope. And the whole time, God's over here at Pharaoh's house saying, Pharaoh, we're going to get some things fixed around here. I'm going to help you. And you know what? You don't even know how I'm going to do it. And then one day, he tells Joseph, he said, all right, they're calling you up yonder. You need to get up there. And he walks over there. And I imagine that Pharaoh looked at him, old big old beard, dirty, nasty from the dungeon. And he thought, who is this guy? I got better preachers right over there that can't tell me the answer. And then he says, well, I'm not going to tell you the answer. God is.
Amen.
And he fixed the whole situation because one young man, in spite of false accusations, hatred, envy, jealousy, wrath, all those things, he stayed right with God. Now you're going to get mad if you want to. And you go on and you get jealous of people if you want to. And you go ahead and you just give up on people if you want to. And you go ahead and give up on situations if you want to. And you go ahead and throw in towel if you want to. But I'm telling you, if you'll stay right with God and you'll pray and stay humble, somewhere down the road, God is working. But you're going to jump off the bus before you get there. How many people you think? Just imagine that, Brother Billy. How many people you and I have known who have jumped off that bus when if they just stayed on another mile or two, they'd have got what they needed. I ain't quitting. I had a young preacher tell me years ago, he said, you know what I admire about you? I said, my preaching. He said, no, I don't care about your preaching. I said, it's my attitude. He said, yeah, it is your attitude. He said, I've seen three or four times anybody else would just quit. But you kept going.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's what I said. I said, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Because after he said that, all kind of things started happening because I was getting to where God wanted me to go.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't quit just so he could see it.
Yeah.
And our children, our grandchildren watching us, and they see what we're going through, and they don't understand how God could let us go through that. So let's stick to it. Let's be faithful. And one day down the road, God is going to intervene and something's going to happen. And our grandchildren, our children are going to look at it and say, now I know what Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa were waiting on. Because see, he's working on both ends. See, Brother Bitt, he's working on you while he's working on your brother. He's working on you while he's working on your daughter. He's working on you while he's working on your family. He's working on you while he's working on your family. We got to, when Jeffrey drove up that day, his wife made him come to church. When he drove up that day, and he had doubts, he told me himself, he said, I looked at my wife and said, you want me to go in there? You know how Yankee got it. And she said, yeah, we're going in there. We done heard him on the internet. We're going in there. And they came in, they fell in love. Now, what if they took that detour, didn't wait? They'd have been invited to a more their kind of church. Let's be honest. You know, they have an orchestra. And they all have funny accents. But I don't know how those people find each other. How do they find each other? But anyway, they didn't go there. They went, but they didn't stay. And then, now what if he hadn't got out of the car that day? We'd been praying for a real piano player for years. He was working on both ends. We endured some, didn't we? It like going to jail sometimes, wasn't it? What if the Edenhoffers, I imagine their church out in California is pretty nice. They heard it on the internet and they drove up. And I'm sure both of them looked at each other and said, we're going in there? And we've been praying for a real congregational song leader for years and years, haven't we? A real one, right?
You've been doing okay. But yeah.
No, I mean a real one. I have no clue what I'm doing when I'm up there. Now, what if they hadn't come in? They work in children's church. I'm getting to that. Stay out of my preaching. Whole word walks in. I heard you on the internet. I'm a Methodist.
Come on.
And you come anyway? He's, well, I used to be a Methodist. How long have we been working on real choir? They come and go. One guy come in and he talk like this right here. He said, I'm a choir director. See, God's working. He's working on your end while he's working on somebody else's end. He put you on that job. He's working on somebody down there. You don't need to quit yet. He put you there for that person. I've seen that happen in my life over and over. Winning people to the Lord. One place I stayed 6 years, never die. I pray, God, I hate this place. Please let me win that person to the Lord so I can get out of here. And after I won that person and his wife to the Lord got me fired. It's the truth. I got fired. And years later, my supervisor came up to me at a restaurant. We were in line at a restaurant. And he saw me. He was back in line. He came up there and he apologized to me for firing me. He said, you know, when you're a supervisor, you have to do some things sometimes you don't want to do. I said, look here, what you meant for my ill, God meant for my good. I said, I have made more money since I left your stinking place than all the years I made while I was down there. I said, thank you for firing me. He's working. Will you sing that song? He's still working on me. To make me what I ought to be. And something, something, something. See, that's why I don't lead singing or the choir. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your word.